Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. This week, I'm joined by Wes Streeting, the UK's Secretary of State for Health and Social Care and MP for Ilford North. And we met in the beautiful ancient woodlands of Hainault Forest for a conversation I think you're going to love. You'll hear what the Health Minister really thinks about walking, its power to prevent illness, boost creativity, support mental well-being, and why this simple, free movement deserves a central place in improving the nation's health. We also explore how walking can be woven into everyday life, from school design to city planning, and even how the simple act of moving through Parliament influences connection, conversation, and decision-making. So step into this week's episode, and if our conversation inspires you to wonder how you can make walking part of your busy day, don't forget you can download my Walk Yourself Wonderful guide, packed with tips and hacks to help you make walking part of your everyday healthy living routine. The link is in the show notes. And now let's head over to Wes.
I'm Wes Streeting, I'm the Labour MP for Ilford North and the Health Secretary.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on There's a Walk for That.
No problem, and thanks for coming to my constituency and to the beautiful surroundings of Hainault Forest, which people listening can't see, but is just this absolutely amazing and ancient forest in London, right on the Essex border, and one of my favourite places to go for a walk, stretch my legs, clear my head. This is my happy place, and I'm glad I can share it with you.
Well, you've literally just listed the benefits of walking. And what I love about this show is whenever I talk to people, you know, everyone has their different angle, like maybe they're, you know, they love talking to trees, or they're about weight loss or community cohesion, but everyone says the same thing about walking. It clears their head, allows them to think creatively. It's just the universal thing about being human, which is why I'm so passionate about it. And it's really exciting for me to be talking to you because, as you said, you're Secretary of State for Health. And in the UK, I think it's nearly one in three adults categorised as obese. Got these terrible crises of heart disease, anxiety, depression, you know. And at the same time, we have all this research that shows that regular walking can help reduce our risk of obesity, reduce our risk of heart disease, even dementia. You've just announced this fantastic 10-year plan for the NHS, Fit for the Future. And one of the central planks is prevention. And so I'd love to know, from someone who lives with this wonderful forest here and who loves walking, how can we include walking as part of that prevention strategy?
Well, even in this amazing age of great medical science and technology that allows us to diagnose more quickly and more accurately, to treat conditions that would have previously resulted in an inevitable death sentence, even in that exciting world, the closest thing we have to a wonder drug or miracle cure is exercise. And the great thing about walking is that it's free. You can do it anywhere. Okay, some walks are nicer than others, true. But it really does bring all of those benefits in terms of healthy body and healthy mind. And for people who aren't able to walk for whatever reason, whether through illness or disability, being outdoors, moving around, taking in fresh air, new sights, surroundings, sounds, it's really good for mind, body and soul. And so One of the things that we are looking to do is sort of a big campaign around getting Britain more active. And I guess sometimes there's a bit of a risk, especially in the social media age, people being bombarded by all of these kind of super fit, super lean, attractive, muscle-bound people. And those sorts of influencers, I think there's sometimes a danger that they make it all seem too difficult. People think, well, I'm never going to be like that, or I'm never going to be able to do that. I mean, quite aside from the fact that none of these people are superhuman, actually, we don't need people to do that. We don't need people to be that lean or slim. What we all do is just need to increase our activity levels a bit, and that we will feel the benefits. I feel the benefits from the moment I put my walking boots on and start stretching my legs, right through to when I'm home with a hot cup of tea and reflecting on how nice it was and how glad I was to get out, even on some of the wet and miserable days like today.
Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. That was Pocketful of Sunshine by Natasha Bedingfield, and it perfectly expresses that kind of happy feeling of freedom that we get from walking in nature. And walking isn't just good for the soul, it's amazingly good for your health. And research from Cambridge University, published in March 2023, shows that just 11 minutes of brisk walking every day can cut the risk of heart disease, stroke, and even some cancers. So, do we really need that gym membership? Let's head back to the interview to get Wes's point of view.
We were just discussing about how, you know, we have all these images in social media and they're kind of very buff and beautiful. And in fact, in terms of longevity, the people who are living longest are not the people who are going to the gym. It's the people who are moving more. We can just simply walk outside. It's free.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a coat and a pair of shoes.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you're right about those other barriers of, do you need to join a gym? Do you need to have certain kit? That is the beauty of walking, is that you don't need any of that. You can, you know, and even, it doesn't matter where you live either. I mean, during the lockdowns, I mean, my partner and I, we walked around the streets of my constituency. We walked over just across the Essex border, around some of the streets up towards Chigwell, just stretching our legs, just taking in new streets, new surroundings, as well as being lucky enough that we've got Fairlop Waters Country Park, which for people who don't live in my neck of the woods is almost directly opposite Fairlop London Underground Station. So if ever you're in town and want to walk around a beautiful lake, it's there. Hainault Forest, Claybury Woods, with Valentine's Park and Mansion, which is where they film Great British Bake Off from time to time. So we're quite lucky, actually. And, you know, for people who don't live in London or haven't visited London recently and have seen some of the things that people have said about London, including some quite prominent international figures, far from the sort of dystopian crime-ridden hellscape that is sometimes described on social media. I'm a lifelong Londoner, and that's not to say we don't have our problems with crime from time to time, but my goodness, we are also blessed with these amazing parks, forests, woods, in and around our great city. And I guess one of the advantages for me as well as representing the community I live in here on the Essex border, and when I go into work in the morning and when I'm on my way back from the gym to the office, I get to walk through St James's Park and take it in. And we're in the middle of my favourite season, which is autumn. So I'm really loving all of the greens and the reds and the browns. And even on some of the more drizzly mornings, it's nice walking around smelling the wet leaves on the ground and the wet grass. But we've had some really kind of crisp autumn mornings, blue skies, orange sunshine. So, yeah, I think it's just a great thing for people just to take a break from the busyness of life and increasingly take a break from screens.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah,
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, and I'm talking with UK Health Minister Wes Streeting. So far, we've been exploring the incredible benefits of walking, from clearing your head, boosting creativity, improving mental and physical health, and even the ways walking shapes the rhythm of a busy parliamentary day. We've heard why it doesn't need fancy kit, expensive gym memberships, or even perfect weather to make a difference. It's just about getting out there, putting one foot in front of the other, and connecting with the world around you. In the next section, I ask Wes how walking can be woven into everyday life, at schools, hospitals, workplaces, even city streets, and how simple design choices can turn ordinary spaces into opportunities for movement, connection, and well-being. And I'm really interested by what you say about walking to work. I think people think of walking as a leisure activity. You know, it's something, if you've got a Sunday off or a couple of hours here, you're like, OK, I might go for a walk. It would be fantastic to weave walking more into our everyday lives, more into our work life, more into our school life. And one of the people who is, because of his love of walking, is one of my heroes, is Steve Jobs. One of the innovators of our times, you know, built up one of the biggest businesses in America. And when he built Apple Park, he built it like a donut. So the stodgy bit was the offices, and the jam in the middle is the park with ponds and woodlands and nature trails. The reason he did this is because walking was an essential part of his work practice. He had his best ideas when he was walking. He had meetings walking. So walking was a source of creativity, productivity. And so,
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and so I'd love to know, I mean, is there a way that we could look at developing our school sites, our hospitals, our workplaces, so that walking is woven into just the everydayness of life?
That's a really good challenge. I mean, ironically, since I became Health and Social Care Secretary, my step count has fallen, because for good security reasons, or I should say bad security reasons in a way, you know, I'm collected in the morning by government car at about any time between 4:45 and 4:45, depending on what I've got on first thing in the morning. I'm then driven between my department and Parliament, which is a 10-minute walk. But I'm driven there, again, for security reasons. So my everyday natural step count has fallen, and it's really bothered me. It's definitely affected my waistline. And I miss walking, whereas when we're in opposition and we didn't have that, you know, there'd be evenings in the summer where I would walk from Parliament Square to Tower Hill and then get the tube home from there, because you walk right along the embankment, right along the Thames. It's beautiful in the summer. And so, yeah, I sort of miss that. And similarly, when we vote in the House of Commons, and, you know, people may have seen it when the Speaker calls division, clear the lobbies, we literally walk through the voting lobbies behind the chamber to walk through and cast our vote. And some of the newer MPs are saying, oh, why are we doing that? And it does take time. It can take sort of 15 to 20 minutes for each vote. So if you have 5 or 6 votes, as we've had with some recently, you're talking, you know, a couple of hours of walking around in circles. But as I said to MPs, be careful what you wish for, because it's not just about the step count, but to your point about creativity and productivity, the voting lobbies is where you can collar a minister and say, I need your help with something. It's where you might bump into a colleague and say, I'm working on a campaign, will you sign my motion? So that interaction, I think, is important. The social element is important. I definitely agree. I mean, again, we're quite lucky with our local schools. A lot of them do have quite a lot of space to play, and big patches of green grass and football pitches and places to run around. And I sometimes worry about some of the newer school developments that have smaller playgrounds or concrete playgrounds on the roofs of some schools. And you think, have we got this right? Have we thought about quality of play, quality of learning through social activity? And it was, I think, the thing that we all struggled with most during the pandemic was that loss of freedom and independence and the ability to socialise. We are social animals, so being out among people, being with people, I mean, the solitary walk
can be quite refreshing, relaxing, necessary sometimes. You need to take a break from everything and everyone. But also there's nothing quite like going on a walk with friends. And I particularly like when I'm on holiday during the year, going for walks with bigger groups of friends, and you all sort of move around from one little group to another and walk around talking from one friend to another, and you catch up and you have quite meaningful conversations on a walk.
Does the House of Parliament not have an open area, like a green area?
No, we're quite contained. You do a lot of walking on the parliamentary estate because it's quite big. So if you're going from the Palace of Westminster itself, where the chambers are, back to your office as an MP, you're often walking right across the parliamentary estate, and you're actually going under the road via a walkway from one end to the next. So there can be lots of natural walking built into the parliamentary day. But I remember when I first became an MP in 2015, I'd get to sort of 5 p.m. in the afternoon and be walking through the colonnade by Parliament Square, and I'd look up and see the sky and think, that's the first time I've seen the sky today. And then you realise how much you miss it. So, we're not a model workplace, I think, when it comes to outdoor space.
Yeah, it's probably been the weirdest thing about being Health Secretary is wandering around and getting such a high level of name and face recognition.
Yeah.
But I do still walk around from time to time. I do sometimes ditch the car, worry everyone by sort of wandering out on my own onto the mean streets of London. That's my rebellious streak.
That was Send Me On My Way by Rusted Root, and you're listening to me, Harriet Thomas, on UK Health Radio, and this is There's a Walk for That. I'm here with UK Health Minister Wes Streeting, and in the next section, we'll explore how walking and access to nature can transform the lives of children and families, from protected woodland in school grounds to everyday parks, and how these experiences can shape imagination, opportunity, and well-being. So let's step back into the conversation. I liked this picture that you painted about everyone going through the voting lobby and how important that is for the social interaction that is happening at those times. And we must almost be careful not to modernise out these important times. Mm. You know, just quicker isn't necessarily better. It makes me think of Johnny Walker, who's been on the show last week, who teaches in one of your local schools, Glade Primary. It has a piece of protected woodland in its grounds, and he uses the woodland for education. So it gives the kids a chance to explore, be in nature, but also to make friends in a slightly different way. They're out of the hierarchy of the classroom. Each child can respond to nature in his or her own way. You know, there isn't a set way to be in nature. It's inclusive in that way. Also, it's hopefully for each child developing a love of nature and an interest in nature and exploring the outdoors. And so, again, it's about this design piece, isn't it? Like, how do we design our schools, our places of education, so that children are getting this win-win of education and health?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I'm sometimes struck by and horrified by conversations you have with teachers about the world that their pupils occupy. So there are lots of pupils in my constituency, and OK, we're right on the border with Essex, but they talk about London as if it's a different place. Many of them have never been into central London because they're from much poorer families. I think there's something about broadening horizons, and for children who live in cities in particular, making sure that they understand nature, that they have access to nature. But also, even in areas that are more remote or more rural or coastal, not assuming that the children there, when they're at, in evenings and weekends, when they're with their families, will necessarily go to these places. So I think education's got a big role to play in broadening horizons, experiences, opportunities, and giving young people a sense of how big the world is and how broad their own horizons are, so that they don't feel like they are constrained in any way, and they're able to feed their imaginations about how they see the world and where they fit.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it really reminds me of your fantastic memoir, A Boy, Two Bills and a Fry-Up.
Yeah, One Boy, Two Bills and a Fry-Up.
One Boy. I'll put a link to it in the show notes because I can thoroughly recommend it. It's quite an emotional roller coaster. I found it anyway, but it's also very inspirational. One thing has really, really struck me from your book. It's the book collection that your mum created for you. And for me, that's just the perfect example of the difference that is made in early years when a child has the opportunity to, in this case, look at books.
Yeah.
And similarly, you know, virtually everyone I've spoken to on this show had their first experiences of walking when they were a child.
Mm.
So I'd love to know, how can we increase access for early years families to get out and explore a walk, to try a walk, when maybe they haven't really had walking as a tradition in their family?
I think there's such an important role for parks and open spaces, and, you know, in this sort of world where we're all worried about the housing crisis, the need to build new homes, we've also got to do that whilst protecting green spaces and see green spaces as part of good living. And I think that the more that we can draw people in, so in Redbridge there are increasing numbers of kind of groups that engaged in walking, either community-led ones or ones that are led by the local authority's leisure provider, where there'll be guided walks and activities. I mean, at Hainault Forest today, you've seen the Woodland Trust's new visitor centre, the first of its kind in the country, which we're all very proud of.
And it's great. I mean, we're here during half-term week. The forest is full of, at one point, as we were trying to get a bit of lunch earlier, screaming noisy kids. but there was, I mean, there were one or two points where the scream was a little bit overwhelming. But at the same time, I couldn't help but sort of smile, because you just see the big smiles on these kids' faces. They're running around, they're learning about nature, and they're running around in the outdoors. This is great. So we need to see more of it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato. Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month. Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to There's a Walk for That, brought to you by me, Harriet Thomas. Today, I'm joined by UK Health and Social Care Secretary Wes Streeting. Next up, we explore what the role of government should be in ensuring equal access for all to walking opportunities. So how do you think government should intersect with community groups? I see a lot being done from the grassroots up. There's always a struggle for resources. How do we make sure that everyone has these opportunities, and what's the government's role?
So firstly, as a general point, and I'm doing it in health, but we're seeing it in other areas from local government through to education, we are once again returning to the days of deprivation-linked funding. So a recognition that all communities need some support and need investment in services and in communities, but some need more support than others in order to have equal access and equal opportunities to build a great place to live and build a strong community. There's lots to do. There's a lot of damage to repair in our country, but we're off to a start with all of that, and I think that will make a big difference. I think that making sure that people are involved in how to shape the places they live in and the places they love or places they would like to love if with a bit of TLC, that's important, and not just assuming that, certainly in central government, that we know how to spend the money best. I believe very strongly in putting power closer to people where they are and where they live. Making sure that we recognise that in terms of building health in our country and well-being in our country, we can't do it without government, but government can't do it alone. So there is a place for all of us to work together, government, business, the voluntary sector, civil society, and all of us as citizens. I think that's the ethos we need.
I think during the course of this conversation, we've kind of agreed that walking is a great thing. It's great for creativity. It's great for productivity. It's great for clearing your mind. It's great for exercising your body. What I'd like to know is, would you go back to Cabinet and talk about walking, this free, simple thing, which I feel is quite revolutionary? It's actually now countercultural to walk. Everything in our culture is about speed. The car is king, and it's costing us. our planet, our health, our mental well-being. So yeah, I'm imagining you at Cabinet, Keir Starmer saying, okay guys, what's your new idea?
Well, there's this thing called walking.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. And as I say, we're currently working on a campaign to get Britain more active, and walking will be part of it, a big part of it, because I don't want to set expectations on the public or an ask of people that feels unrealistic or too challenging and difficult, which will make this really easy. And we've seen some of the changes that have happened. I mean, some of our biggest allies in this are kids. So if I think about active travel campaigns in schools, often it's the kids who recognise the health benefits, the pollution benefits, the safety benefits of walking school. And they're the ones that are saying to mum and dad when they're preparing to get in the car in the morning to drive them 2 minutes to school in what would otherwise be a 5 or 10 minute walk, oh, no, we should be walking. And I think that's really powerful. If we can just think in our everyday lives, how can I just tweak a little bit? How could I... Do I need... And by the way, this is a bit of a confessional now for me, but do I really need to get in my car to drive round to the Sainsbury's or the Tesco and Barkingside, given that it's perfectly walkable from my house? And often I'm not there to do a big weekly shop. I'm there to pick up something for dinner that evening or to grab something I've realised we're short of. So I don't even have the excuse of, oh, but all the heavy shopping bags. So look, I'm just the same as everyone else in this respect. Definitely a victim of convenience culture in some ways.
the amazing Talking Heads with Once in a Lifetime. I'm Harriet Thomas, and you're tuned in to There's a Walk for That, the show that explores how the simple act of walking could be the key to boosting our physical and mental health. Today, I've had the pleasure of talking with UK Health and Social Care Secretary Wes Streeting, and I'm happy to say that Wes has championed the many benefits of walking. But when it comes to designing where we live, where we work, where our children go to school, to make walking easier and more enjoyable, is that really achievable? Or is it just a pipe dream?
My vision of a walkable city where people can easily walk in their workplace or at school or around their city seems like a bit of a dream, but I know it isn't because it's happening in places. And last year when I was doing the Camino Portugués, I walked through a town called Pontevedra. I arrived at Pontevedra with my friend. We dumped our backpacks, went to get something to eat, and discovered this just amazing town. It just invited you to walk. Pedestrian walkways everywhere, playgrounds where the kids were playing, there were bars where people are having a glass of wine and some tapas. Then it wasn't until I came back to the UK that I discovered that it's been totally redesigned because it had been choked by traffic. People were leaving it. It was dying. So what they did is they cleared the centre of traffic, redesigned it to make these beautiful walkways, and now people are flooding back. Wellbeing is so high there. People are so happy to live there. Carbon emissions have gone down 70%. The shops and the businesses are thriving. The tourists are coming. They had the commitment, they had the vision, and they did it, and it worked.
Yeah, and to do that, you have to be brave and you have to take some risks. And, you know, the Mayor of London's currently planning to do that with Oxford Street and the pedestrianisation. Now, this is up against quite a noisy campaign. I think there are some legitimate concerns about how you ensure disabled transport and access, and that has to be thoughtfully done. But I think it's such an exciting idea, and I think it would make such a difference to one of the most famous shopping districts in the world, and to be honest, one that's been in decline and been on the slide for a while now. You have to be bold and take risks. You know, that can we... I think in some ways the challenge is also, can we do for walking what we've done for cycling? And, you know, there are more cycle paths around. I know that people involved in cycling campaigns would say, oh, there's much more to do. I'm sure there is more to do. But I sort of feel, certainly as a Londoner at the moment, I feel like pedestrians are the ones being left behind.
Totally.
You know, you've got cars... So I'll be honest, sometimes some of the ways that cycle routes are designed and the way that some cyclists behave make being a pedestrian actually a bit of a nightmare. And, you know, it's not unusual to sort of find when the red light goes at the lights that the cars stop and some cyclists think that the rules don't apply to them. Or that it's okay because I just navigate my bike around people and in quite an irresponsible way. So I think in some ways things have gone backwards for pedestrians rather than forwards in the way that you describe, and we've got to take that seriously, not least because the same issues around accessibility apply. If you're someone that isn't entirely firm on your feet or have some mobility issues and you've got people whizzing around or you've got narrow paths and you're struggling to walk by because, you know, the people are parked up on the curb and all the rest of it, those are the things that put you off and make the walk a less pleasant experience.
Totally. Those are the things that keep you stuck in your house.
Exactly.
You know, when you could be out with your community, and that, so the impacts are really quite devastating. I think cycling got that huge boost from the Olympics, didn't it? You know, suddenly everyone's in Nike, we're rushing around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we need some massive walking event that
inspires...
Yeah, challenge
accepted. Let's think about how we do that.
I'd like to see Keir Starmer at the head, and you, obviously. And,
well,
you know...
And I like those sorts of... park run's a really good example of this, actually. Park run gets the community out running, but it is people for all abilities. And so at park runs, it's not unusual to see the walking group there at the back and totally chilled out about the fact that they're not running ahead with everyone else. They're just having a walk and a talk.
Yeah.
The more of that we can do, the better.
Brilliant. Thank you so much,
Wes. Thank you. It's been nice to talk to you.
It's been really great to talk to you. I really, really appreciate it.
Right. Time for my walk. It's a really drizzly day. It's November. It's about 4:30, so it's already getting dark. just got time to nip into my local park and get a quick 10-minute walk, calm down my nervous system, which is a bit worked up after work. I can hear the parakeets already. It's a lovely breeze. It's already... Do you know what? It's just blowing away the cobwebs. I already feel happier and it smells lovely. It's just rained. I can smell the earth. Even though through the trees I can see lines of traffic, big skyscrapers. In this little wood in the middle of the city, I'm just getting a quick dose of nature. This is where I come every day. Because I know from experience that walking calms down my nervous system, stops me getting my horrible backaches and sciatica. As I've often said during my shows, the science all points to the benefits for mental health, obviously the benefits for our physical health, the movement, that all-important movement that it's so essential to fit into our daily life, preferably throughout the day. So my favourite is the micro walk. It's just 10 or 15 minutes every 4 hours, say. Even if it's just going around the block, try it just for your health and to reset your state of mind. I can't tell you how much better I feel. And I left the house probably 3 minutes ago and I'm already feeling zingy. That's how I'm feeling, zingy. And before I was kind of feeling stressed and like getting a little bit down. Now, look, I've got these beautiful oak trees all around me. They're really losing their leaves now, so I can see their twisty, turny branches black against the white sky. And this path is covered in red leaves. You know, it's just so lovely. So just leave you with that thought. Please go out, have your walk. You know, your little micro walk doesn't need to be a massive hike. And if you need some motivation, don't forget, you can download my free guide, Walk Yourself Wonderful. You can get it from my website, which is www.feelgoodwalk.com. And you can find a link to the website at the bottom of my biog on the UK Health Radio site. So do download that. I wish you luck in your walking. Get out there, feel the freedom, feel the relaxation, feel your body getting fitter. And I will see you in next week's episode of There's a Walk for That.